are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'll be reading part 7 of Dance Prince's Dance. Happy New Year. I hope that 2017 treats you well and that no one you know is kidnapped by fairies. Some years that's the best that any of us can hope for. Part 7. Old Soldiers. Jack would shout at her. Z was certain. Jack would not approve of her returning with this soldier to his tiny room in a cheap tavern in Rackham Street. Sure, she wasn't alone, but Jack was ropeable about Kai Foster and his newspaper ethics right now, so his presence wasn't likely to reassure her. Dennis wouldn't shout, but Dennis had been moping tragically around the doghouse for days since the dancing shoes story went to print, so she wasn't going to consider him a holder of an unbiased opinion. Kai scowled, his pretty mouth drawn down in suspicion, as he watched the soldier light the fire in the grate, warming the room. The man lit two lanterns, one on the mantel and the other in the centre of the wonky table, in the middle of the room. "My name is Saladin Tay," said the soldier. "But you knew that already, if you've been following me."
"I didn't know that," Z volunteered. "All the hounds had managed to gather was that you were one of Sarge's old comrades from the war, and you're from Palomar."
The man's mouth twitched at that. "Well, as we're sharing information, I haven't the least idea who either of you are. A hound and a..."
"He's the gutter press," Ziggy said sourly.
"I'm a friend," Kai grumbled, elbowing her.
"Are you really?"
"I almost feel I don't need to be here for this interrogation," said Saladin Tay, who was definitely amused now. "You girl, you're one of Clay's hounds. Shouldn't you be trailing him through the snow instead of me?"
"I know better than to ask him any direct questions," she snorted. "Questions drive him to drink."
The soldier nodded. "He wouldn't listen to me. He didn't want to. He gave up on our mission long ago. But I think something very dangerous is happening in that castle of yours. Something to do with dancing slippers and princes."
"You think the princes are the ones using the shoes?" Kai interrupted.
"I do," said Saladin.
His eyes were wise and kind, Z thought, dark like earth and wine, but he looked sad, and that was saying something considered she had spent the last several days working shifts with broken-hearted Dennis. She shouldn't trust him. Jack had given her a mission to find out how dangerous this man was to their Sarge. That was all that mattered.
"Go on then," she said. "Dancing slippers and princes, you said."
"And bluebells and clover," said the soldier. Z sucked in a breath. Kai was looking at her strangely, and she didn't want him to know what she was thinking. Didn't want her deepest secrets printed on the front page of the Charming Herald. But that was unfair. Kai had known her story for months, and it was a good one. Would have given him plenty of column inches. He'd never breathed a word of how and why she came to this kingdom.
"Clover and bluebells," she repeated.
And then she explained, My fairy godmother, the one who, you know, tried to glass slipper me into marrying one of the princes, she used bluebells as a... It was her magic, I suppose. That was how I was supposed to summon her. Miss Clover was her name."
"No," said the soldier. "That's not her name. At least, it wasn't once."
The door slammed open, bringing a gust of cold air that almost gutted the lanterns.
"Fine," growled Sarge, standing there with his face pinked from the winter air. "I walked 4 frigging blocks arguing with you in my head. But you're right, you're always bloody right. We have to talk to the boys and find out if Illyria's really the one behind all this." He huffed, realising that Saladin was not alone.
"What, you're kidnapping my hounds now?"
"I was going to offer them cocoa," said Saladin mildly.
Z had leapt to attention when her boss entered the room. "Sorry, Sarge, I was just..."
"Yeah, yeah," said Sarge, pulling off his cap and shoving it in the pocket of his coat. "Doing Jack's dirty work. Might have known she was up to something when she went a whole 2 days without nagging me about my health or my drinking.
He gave Kai a long, measured look. Now you. You're a surprise. Not very popular around my neck of the woods right now. Kai looked faintly terrified. No, sir, he muttered. Saladin sputtered with laughter. Sir, he said. Gods, Clay. How young are these kids? Shut the hell up, said Sarge, his face flaming red. You're not my captain anymore. I don't have to take this. It's so sweet the way they look up to you, Clay. Such a figure of authority. Ha! Huh. They stared at each other for a moment, and for the first time, Zee believed that this man was no threat to Sarge. They were friends after all, the kind of friendship that runs so deep that you never have to question it. She didn't have friends like that, not yet, though she thought perhaps in a year or two. She might have earned something like that with her hounds, with Jack and Dennis in particular. Loyalty. History. So, she invited both soldiers, are we really going to have cocoa? Because I want some. And then you can tell us a story about bluebells and clover. It was after midnight. Dennis was on night sentry duty outside the bedroom doors of the Prince's Charming. It wasn't a usual security detail, but everyone was worried about the Princess right now. Everyone except the King, who remained convinced that Princess Camilla was the one behind the great winter shoe purchase. Corporal Jack had asked Dennis to keep an eye on this corridor as a personal favour to her. She was planning to be outside in the snow, watching the windows, all bloody night. "You really think this is necessary?" he asked her, but only once, because Jack knew what she was doing when it came to calculated risk. Something's wrong with the boys, she sighed. I don't know what, but the likeliest explanation is that they're sneaking out somewhere they shouldn't. We can't protect them blind. We need more information. She wasn't the only one who worried. Shortly after midnight, a barefoot princess made her way along the corridor to Dennis in a loose smock and silken trousers that she had claimed when Ziggy got rid of her own princess trousseau to reinvent herself as a hound cadet. As a hound cadet. The trousers were short on Camilla, hitting her mid-calf, and they whispered as she walked. Her hair was shorter than when Dennis had first met this strange magical princess, so consumed by sadness and art that she rarely stuck her nose outside her garden tower. But seeing her like this in the dimly lit corridor, it struck him all over again how much she looked like Kai Foster. How is it that no one else, except he and Jack, he was pretty sure, had ever noticed? They had the same damned nose. They pulled the same scrunched-up facial expression when they were concentrating. Even their sarcasm hit the same dry notes. Dennis did not know for 100% certain that Kai was the long-lost prince, Camilla's twin, the one whose disappearance had broken this royal family into pieces more than a decade and a half ago. It could be a coincidence. Maybe he was some cousin from the wrong side of the blankets, but once their startling similarity had first made itself clear to him, he couldn't unsee it. You idiot, had been his first thought, when he saw that bloody newspaper headline screaming out that Kai had chosen his job over his friendships at the castle. When he saw the stung, frozen expression on Princess Camilla's face as she took in the betrayal. You don't even know what you just gave up. Cadet, Camilla said now, oddly formal as she addressed him. Your Highness, said Dennis, matching her formality with his own. I need to see my brothers. He hesitated. It's late. They'll survive. I'm not sure. I wasn't asking, Hound. No one is going to blame you for this. A royal whim, so stand aside and let me... Royal. He never even considered trying to stop her. He made a vague gesture to Prince Chase's door and followed her inside. The windows were closed. There was no sign of disturbance, but the prince's bed was empty. Damn it, damn it, said Camilla, and ran to the other suite. Cyrus's room was also unoccupied. How did they get past you? They didn't, Dennis insisted. He went to the window. Jack's still out there. They didn't use windows or doors. He could see his corporal silhouette there in the courtyard, standing to attention in her furs and cloak. He pushed open the window and signalled to her. Alert as always, Jack disappeared back into the castle at a run. "Is there any other way out of these suites? They don't have... what, secret passages? I'll kill them if they do, and they never told me." Camilla stormed across the suite, pulling Chase's pillows aside and hurling them across the room. "What the hell is going on here?" She went to the wardrobe and yanked on the door. Dance slippers tumbled past her and onto the floor, many of them bright and new and ready to wear, others torn and broken, handfuls of fragments in silk and shoe leather. "We have to inform the king," Dennis choked. "No," said Camilla, blazing with fury. "Not until morning. This isn't new, Dennis. It's not the first time." She picked up a handful of shoe scraps. "If they're not back by morning to explain themselves, we'll tell father then." Jack pounded into the room. "What's wrong?" She took in the scene, the shoes on the floor, the empty bed, the lack of princes. "I'm going to murder them both." "Get in line," snarled Princess Camilla. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at Tansy R. Roberts. And if you sign up for my author newsletter, you get a free copy of Fake Geek Girl, the ebook. Follow the link. See you next time. See you next year.